Psalm 34. You know, one of the things that's exciting to me about the Psalms is you can take a psalm and you can venture a guess as to what it was in the life of that psalmist that provoked him to write it. When you first read the psalm, you should carefully see what he's saying and then try to read between the lines and relate the different aspects of what the psalmist is saying in that psalm to his life. Now, we don't know the specifics, but some psalms have titles, like Psalm 34 has a title, and it tells us the incident in which this psalm was inspired by David to write. And it's the time when it says when he changed his behavior before that Philistine city king, Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Remember, he pretended that he was insane? Yeah, that's the background we read here in the title for Psalm 34. Well, the question that we ask ourselves when we read the Psalms is, what human condition causes this person to write this particular psalm? Because unique to the Psalms is that the writers are writing from life experience. I don't know if any of you have ever kept a diary or a journal. What the Psalms are, obviously a songbook for the Jewish people, but what the Psalms are also is that they are a spiritual diary or a spiritual journal in this particular writer's life. And he talks about real human conditions. You know, because of the fall and because of sin entering into God's creation, our lives are just full of ups and downs, aren't they? And that's really what the book of the Psalms records for us, the ups and downs of the human condition, emotions that are being expressed. You know, emotions aren't a bad thing. They can be used wrongly, like anything, but emotions are God-given. In fact, being made in the image of God, I think one of the aspects of that is that we have emotions like God has emotions. And our emotions, they originate, I think, much in that area that we call the soul. You know, the soul part of the human being gives us self-awareness. It's the thing that gives us self-awareness and connects us with all other human beings. And that soul has varied emotions that come out of it, that are expressed. And so our emotions really are a mirror of the experience within the soul of the human being. And that's what the psalmist addresses. The psalm, if you study the Psalms long enough, you'll find that there is a psalm basically for every situation that you face. There are psalms for difficult times. There are psalms for moments of joy, for tragic times, and for times of praise. The more time that you spend with the Psalms, the more helpful you'll find they become, because you're going to learn how to match your current experience with a corresponding psalm. And God then will use that to help you and actually create hope in you and bring peace to you and move you to worship Him in praise and thanksgiving. Just quickly, I can't turn to them, but I'm just going to throw out some examples quickly. For one example is, if you are in desperate need of deliverance, well, Psalm 3 and 4 are all about that. If you're in need of forgiveness, Psalm 51 is like the classic psalm on forgiveness. If you are interested in physical healing, Psalm 30 is about that. And if it's some type of suffering, Psalm 69 addresses that. What I'm saying to you is, here's the condition that we face. And here in the Psalms, we have the solution. And I've asked you to turn to Psalm 34 tonight. And I want you to note something that appears once in a while in the Psalms that's interesting to me. And that is, there are some Psalms that begin by the psalmist giving you the conclusion that he arrived at, right at the beginning, of the Psalm, instead of the end. You know, when we write, we have an introduction, then we develop our thought that is themed in that introduction, and then we bring it to a climax and then conclusion. Here's where we landed. There are psalms where the conclusion is at the beginning of the psalm, and then he tells you about the experience that he got to that conclusion finally. And that's exactly what happens in Psalm 34. It begins in the beginning by telling you the conclusion that he came to. Really, I could say the solution for his problem. And here it is. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Here is the presentation of the solution. And it's necessary, if you want to understand the psalm, to read through it, to work through the psalm, see what the situation was that actually brought the psalmist to that answer, to that conclusion, to that solution, which really is praise to the Lord. He praises God for that and continues to do so. Well, how did that come about? I'll tell you, when that becomes your conclusion, that I will bless the Lord, I will praise the Lord, that's where real happiness exists. Because you know what it does for you? It gets you from focusing on yourself, and it turns your attention to the perfection and to the power and the ability of the Lord. And that is a great solution. And so I want to look at this psalm briefly with you in the minutes that we have left. And I want to look at the solution to David's dilemma that he finds himself in. Before we do, let's pray. The Father in heaven, once again, we pause, we look to you. We thank you for Psalm 34 and for the entire book of Psalms. We pray that you might use it tonight in a specific way in our individual lives, and that we might benefit from it spiritually, and that it might be the thing that you would use even in the future and days to come as we face varied experiences and all kinds of emotions emerge as a result. So work, Lord, tonight for your glory, for your name's sake, we pray it all. Amen. I want you to look in the first verse and see the first part of the solution. And that is simply this. The psalmist blesses God. He blesses God. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. The word bless there is the word baruch. And the root of that Hebrew word literally means to kneel. It is a personal choice. It's a personal resolve the psalmist makes here in this conclusion answer to his problem. It's a choice he made. And it is a tremendous conclusion to a bad day or a bad experience. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every day, at the end of the day, we could end on that note that the psalmist begins his psalm with? I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Regardless of what you experience today, Wouldn't it be wonderful if you laid your head down on the pillow tonight and before you went to sleep, you could honestly from your heart of hearts say, I bless you, Lord. I bless you for today. And then note also in the first and second verse, he not only blesses the Lord, but he praises the Lord. Not only is he kneeling before the Lord, but now he is praising. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, he says. That's his attitude toward God. He adores God and praises and blesses him. Notice this all the time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He's doing it all the time. You know, do you think it's possible to praise the Lord all the time? Just think about what happened today in your life or yesterday. Is it possible to praise the Lord all the time? I think it is. And I think that's what the psalmist chose to do. The psalmist thought that it was not only possible to praise the Lord all the time, but he found it to be a great joy to do so. He discovered it was a joy to do it and to do it all. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. That leaves nothing out. That leaves no experience that is excluded from blessing and praising the Lord all the time. In other words, our praise to God is to be uninterrupted. There is no reason to not praise the Lord. He says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth, always on my lips. And he says in that second verse, my soul will make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. In other words, you're not going to shut me up. I am always going to be talking about the Lord. I am going to learn to turn my difficult circumstances into moments of praise. You know what? It'd be a wonderful thing, I think, if we could learn to turn our prayer requests into praise to the Lord, our down times into praising God. That he's always on your mind. I'll bless the Lord always, at all times. His praise continually in my mouth. Always on my lips. Because he's always on my mind. What's always on your mind? God's always on my mind. And as a result of that, I'm constantly wanting to speak to others about Jesus. Make my boast in him. So, what's the solution the psalmist gives us? He begins with the solution. Bless God, praise God. Look at verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Thirdly, exalt God. Exalt God. The psalmist not only praises the Lord continually, but he wants others to join him in doing that as well. He wants us to join him. He wants you to join him in praising and blessing the Lord and exalting him. In other words, he wants to turn a solo into a duet, or in a group, he wants to turn a solo into a choir. He wants us to magnify the Lord. And then drop down quickly to verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's talking to other people. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. So he's, in that 8th verse, he's talking about how good God is. You know the word good there in verse 8 means sweet. Have you found the Lord sweet? Is Jesus sweet to you? Is he sweet in your life? He's talking about how sweet Jesus is. That's what he does. God is good, he says. And he challenges you and I to take a taste of God's sweetness, to find out how sweet Jesus is in your own personal life. And when you know how sweet Jesus is, you know what? You'll never want to stop singing his praises. You'll never want to be quiet. You'll never want to shut up. You'll want to talk about him. You'll want others to know how sweet, how good he is. You won't stop. All you'll want to think about is him, and all you'll want to talk about is Jesus. So I wonder, have we really tasted how good, how sweet the Lord is? Do you know him to be sweet like that? How about this? Do other people see his sweetness in your life? Can other people view, take a glance at your life and get the impression that you see God as sweet, as good? So, bless God, praise God, exalt God, but he's not done yet. Look at verse 4. As we look at the solution to the condition, in verse 4 he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. In verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Here's the fourth thing that is the solution. Seek God. Seek the Lord. See the word fears in verse 4? The word fear has the idea of deep dread and terror. And it's an intense feeling, an intense emotion of fear that takes your breath away from you. What fear does to you is it can paralyze you. It takes your breath from you. And that's exactly what he's talking about, that God delivered. The significant thing to note here about God dealing with fear is that the psalmist is not seeking the Lord to rid the fear from him, but he sought the Lord. And when he found the Lord was able to give him the power to break through the fear that was smothering him, to break that smothering grip of fear in his life. We always will face fears. It doesn't matter how spiritual you ever become. It doesn't matter how long you are a believer. You'll always face fear to some degree or another. And the fact of the matter is, there's always relief. And the relief is here. He doesn't pray, save me from fear, but he prays, save me in my fear. Because he recognizes you can't live without Jesus. And that's why he allows fears to come into our life, to get us to recognize we need him all the time. And so we seek him as a result. Notice in verse 6, it says, he cried unto the Lord. That's a very strong word, the word cried there. It's the picture of someone accosting a person, you know, someone aggressively and insistently demanding something from you. They accost you. Give me. And it's the idea of the psalmist grabbing hold of God, if you will, taking hold of Jesus and not letting go. It's as if my life depends upon it. If you don't come through, I'm dead. I die. That's how intense this word cried is. It means you don't ever let God out of your sight. He's always in your mind. You never let him out of your sight. You seek God. This is the solution that the psalmist is giving to us. And then one more. Drop down to verse 7. He says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, it's my opinion, and I don't know if I'm totally right, but it's my opinion that there are angelic beings that give believers physical protection. You may have experienced that. Many have. He's saying here that God provides protection. And then if you'll drop down to verse 15 a moment, here's another thing. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Now, here's the, what is it? The fifth thing? The fifth thing that I believe is the solution to the condition. The solution here is you got to believe God. Seek God. Believe God. The believer possesses an abundant amount of resources in Jesus. But you got to believe him for those things. For example, in that seventh verse, he's promising us the resource of his protection through the angel of the Lord. He's promising protection. You know how God sent an angel to close the mouth of the lions in that lion's den that Daniel was thrown into? Or remember when Elisha the prophet was in the city and it was encircled by the Syrian army, chariots and horses and soldiers? They've come to capture Elisha the prophet, and his Elisha servant is just full of fear. And the prophet says, Lord, open his eyes. And when God opens the servant's eyes, he sees that there is a whole heavenly host of fiery horses and chariots that is surrounding Elisha and him. You see, in order for you to enjoy and experience God's abundant resources here in the area of protection, for example, you got to have eyes of faith. You got to believe God. Even though you can't see it physically, you have to believe that God is protecting you. You believe him. You believe him for that resource of protection. But you also believe what he says in verse 15, that his eyes are ever upon you. I believe that you have to depend upon him to have favor on you. That's what it means. That he looks at you, and as God looks at you, if you're his child, he doesn't see any stain on your life. He sees you as holy, and he's waiting for you to cry out to him so he can help you and so that he can deliver you. The eyes of faith that sees the way God sees us, we see ourselves as rotten sinners. But God sees us as holy saints, and that's what he calls us. And then you have to believe God for what he says there in that 15th verse again, that when we, the face of the Lord is toward us, and his ears are open to our cry. That is, when your heart is right with God, you have a direct connection to God's heart. That's what he's saying there. And folks, these five things that the psalmist goes through as the solution to the condition, whatever that condition might be, that you bless God, that you praise God, that you exalt God, that you seek God, and that you believe God, those five things are the key to life. They are the key to life because, again, the Psalms are all about everyday human life with all the varied experiences and emotions, and this is the solution, how you deal with them. I think of that little chorus that takes the first few verses of Psalm 34. Do you know it? If you know it, sing it with me. Yeah, I will bless the Lord at all times. I think my wife can pull the tune out of her head and it'll flow through her fingers on the piano keys. She doesn't have music for this. Try it. There you go. Ready? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my... All right, so that's what? That's the first four verses. If you need your Bible, open your Bible, and let's try it together, all right? And you'll be learning some scripture as well. Isn't that good? All right, here we go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Amen? Work on that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time and for this psalm. And I pray that the truths, simple and yet as you inspired them, powerful, use them in our daily life, that we might walk in victory, that we might see that you alone are the answer. And for that, we bless your name. We praise you. And we want to do that always, continually. And we want to do it not only for ourselves, but for others. And we want others to join us in it. And so may we be bold about it, that others would come to know you and have your praise continually in their mouths too, in Jesus' name.